Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 17. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and go over to the book of Luke in chapter 17. The last time we were in this chapter, we dealt with the first 19 verses. As you recall, we were dealing with the subject, Thy Kingdom Come. And the way we derive that as a title for this chapter comes before us in verse 4, where the Lord Jesus is talking about your brother trespassing against you and repenting in verse 3, and you are to forgive him. And then in verse 4 it says, if he trespasses against you seven times in a day and returns saying, I repent, he says, you shall forgive him. Now, I want you to know something about that. It's very important that we get this because it's sort of like the thing that drives the chapter. When you're thinking of forgiveness, a question often is brought up, and that is, what about X, Y, or Z? And I want you to know there's a difference between criminality and civil offenses. When somebody civilly offends you, they might not treat you properly. It wouldn't be actionable. That's the kind of thing he's dealing with. If you're dealing with somebody who's criminal, you will read in the scriptures over and over again that you're not to be a talebearer or a tattletale in a civil matter, so don't be a gossip about those things. But if something is criminal, you do not want to be complicit. There are many people who get wrapped up in thinking about these words of our Lord Jesus and do not take into account that there are things that are needing to be dealt with by the government. The Bible says in Romans 13 that the powers that be are ordained of God and that they are the ministers of God unto you for good, and they do not bear the sword in vain. So sometimes you have to appeal to a authority in the government, whether it's a police officer or a lawyer, because it is something that is criminal. And when it's civil and you can't get any personal satisfaction, the Bible actually provides for that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where you go before other brothers and get some input between two believers, because sometimes a brother's taking a brother to court. You and I need to make wise application of the scripture, not, as we said before, reckless application. Reckless application can create a world of problems. So I say to you, again, now getting back on our train here, verse 4 says, thou shalt forgive him. It doesn't mean that you will do it because it's an imperative we were trying to bring home to you. It's not something that you must do. It says you just will. If you are a citizen of the heavenly city, the kingdom of God, that's where you live and how you live, then you will forgive them. It's just going to happen. You're going to say, well, I don't always know to do that. And that's the problem. Doctrine's very important for the practical. Doctrinal, then practical. If you understand who you are, what's going on, understand the plan of God, you'll forgive it. Now, let me illustrate something that will maybe make this make a little more sense for you. You remember in the book of Matthew where Jesus is talking about the law. He says, you have heard it said in old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of that judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Wow. We have to be mindful, right? But what's that all about? Well, that was verse 21. He says, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Again, big words, difficult to absorb. And he says, in verse 48, the last verse of Matthew 5, he says, you must be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. I'm telling you, these are big deals, right? Enemies, bless them, don't be angry. Why? Well, because when he says, you will forgive them. He's not saying you must. That's an imperative. And I would have thought that's what it was. In the Greek, it's an active voice. You will forgive them. Seven times they come back to you saying they repent. So you have suspicions. It's not like the verse 3 where it says, and they repent. That's done. They did repent. They were sorry. Their minds changed. They thought, I was wrong. But he says, you will forgive them, even if they're just saying it. Why? Why not be angry? Same kind of context. Because we understand that there's a seriousness about souls. Because you are, as a believer, a caretaker of another person's soul. From the very earliest days in Scripture, when God brought Adam and Eve together and they had Abel and Cain, and there was this issue between them where there was anger. And God comes to Cain and says, why is your countenance fallen? If you will do good, it will be well with you. He was angry. He was jealous. And we all know what happened in the end. God said, if you do well, it'll be well with you. But if not, sin lies at your door and its desire is for you. And you must master it. Well, for the next verse or two, what we find is that Cain rose up and killed Abel. And when God comes to Cain later and he says, where's your brother? He says, am I my brother's keeper? God doesn't even dignify the question with an answer. Because, yeah, you are. Now, let's put it this way. Go back to what I've said before. Ladies, this is good for you. Go to your child. Go to your son or your daughter and think of how many times you would forgive them, even when you really didn't know whether you should or not. Your husband or your wife, a little harder on them. What's the Bible say? Love hopes all things, believes all things, bears all things, right? So I wanted you to know there's a difference between criminality and civil issues. In a criminality thing, you may even have to prosecute some that are way out there in left field because there's the danger that they might do things to other people or whatever. But what I'm saying here is this is why it's so important for us to understand thy kingdom come is set forth in verse 4. Because it says you will forgive them. And why will you do that? Because you see their soul is in your hands. And however you handle whatever offense that comes your way from that person will have eternal implications. Can I get that across? Eternal implications. You have to do what you have to do to make sure that person finds their way as best you can. And as much as it depends upon you, you will do good to every person that comes down your trail. So when I say to you, this is thy kingdom come, remember the context of the passage we looked at last week. We saw him saying, you will forgive. And they said, what? Increase our faith. Which really, where did that come from? Because it seems like out of context, but no, it isn't. He says, listen, if you had a little bit of faith, you could say to a sycamore tree, be cast into the sea, and it would obey you. Because that's what it's going to be when we're in glorified state. What's going to happen is we're going to be able to have dominion over all things, the animals, the nature of things, and we will be able, if we believe it's the right thing, we can move a mountain even. That's going to be your lot. Just like Jesus calmed the storms, and just like Jesus walked on the water, all that stuff. We're going to be like him. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's where we're going. The Bible tells us that in that day, everlasting joy will be upon our brow. It's going to be a good day. And when it comes, we're going to say, the bumps that I had to endure down here, they were worth it. Because I was doing it for my Savior. So Jesus begins to try to help them with this faith thing. He says, which of you has a servant? And he tells us about this servant working all day, coming in. He says, is he going to say to him, sit down and eat? He's going to say, no, feed me now. It's my time to eat. When you're done feeding me, you can get you guys something to eat. He says, you're on the clock right now. That's what you are. And that's what he says about the idea of increasing their faith. They need to see it from the right perspective. Thy kingdom come. If you're really going to be completed, perfect, meaning mature, and brought to the intended end God has for you, you will forgive them. That's what he said in verse 4. You will forgive them. He doesn't have to press it because you're going to have a new heart. You're going to have a new perspective. You're going to recognize they're blind. And the Bible says that it's an abomination if you put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. And that's the way we are sometimes. We'll do that. We'll throw that stumbling block right in there because we're just mad. And we have to grow up, not be babes. We will forgive them. And then Luke picks up the story about the 10 lepers. And he shows that those 10 lepers all cried from a distance because they were unclean and were not going to infect anybody else. And then He says, go and show yourself to the priest, and the ten go, and they're all cleansed as they're going, and the one comes back, and he glorifies God, and he falls on his face, and he says, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Jesus says, are you the only one? Weren't there ten? And you're a Samaritan. He says, your faith has made you whole. Does that mean it made him well? No, it made him whole, because what happened was, is he began to realize it wasn't about parsing the letter of the law. It was about living within the spirit of the law, understanding, yeah, I need to go tell the priest, but Jesus is the one who did this. I'm going to glorify him first and foremost. Everything we do in the kingdom of God points back to our King, points back to our Savior. Listen, points back to our bridegroom. We want him honored. We want him glorified. And this world right now is disrespecting everything about our Lord. And it's not about us to go out and say, you shouldn't do that. It's us saying, we're going to pick up the slack. If others aren't going to be building on this wall, we will. We're going to glorify him. We're going to speak much about Jesus and speak well about Jesus. We've got the big picture. Going to go to heaven, man. Going to get glorified. Going to get Jesus. Going to get all the saints. Going to get everlasting joy. It's in Psalm 16. It says, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Y'all said, sign me up. He is a good father and he understands. And all we can do is trust him because he knows the way through. He knows what he's up to. And he can be trusted and must be trusted. When Job lost everything, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He knows what's right. When Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all those guys were in captivity in Babylon, they determined in their heart not to defile themselves with the king's meat. Over and over again, we are seeing people who are great heroes of the faith saying, I'm standing with God, come what may. Job actually crescendos by saying at one point in the narrative of his book, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Okay, that's the kingdom of God. And those people who come and bump us seven times in a day and come back and say, I'm sorry, sorry, sorry again, sorry. It's not quite like that, but it feels like that. And you're thinking, man, I just want to, you know, kind of, where's anybody looking? Pop them one in the nose. No, can't do that. You just need to bear with and forbear. And you will if you have a new heart. And so he taught them again, man. There's something very important about the kingdom of God, something very unique. Many times it's going to be what? Made up of the little ones. Corinthians tells us there's not many wise, not many noble. You see the kingdom of God, not many wise, not many noble. They have a hard time bending the knee, have a hard time giving up their prerogatives, have a hard time sharing their influence or their wherewithal, whatever it might be. God says that's a real hitch. How hard is it for a rich man to enter into heaven? Well, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a sewing needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. Aren't you nervous now? I'm glad he went on to say, but with God, all things are possible. That's the motto for Ohio State. With God, all things are possible. I say to you that when we come down to verse 20, that the Pharisees have been hearing all of his words. He was talking to them at the early part of the chapter about having a millstone about their neck cast into the deepest sea. Chapter 16 at the end about being in hell and in torments. And man, he's been laying them out pretty good because they went too far. They pushed the envelope too far. What they had done was they had seen the sinners and the publicans coming and they murmured against them. It was like they were shutting the door. They were saying, you have no right to be here. What are you doing here? They would scowl and look at them and raise an eyebrow. And I'm sad to say that I've heard stories of people I've known that have gone to churches where they've enjoyed such a greeting of scowls and dislike and dismissiveness and disrespect. I've heard of that. And I say to you that the believer could never be that kind of a person. If there's some kind of a darkness in our heart, we need to rip that baby out, root and branch. Okay, we need to take care of that.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.